fighting for America.
It's time to turn this country around.
We took the power away from the Washington-based special interests, and we put it in the hands of the Wisconsin taxpayers.
The people of Texas have spoken, and I am deeply honored to be your next governor.
Fighting for Idaho.
First, I'm not going to give a long speech. And second, the campaign is over.
Fighting for you.
We're the reddest of the red state in the United States of America.
Let's stay that way. Thank you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. It is K. Millie in the Morning here at 580 KIDO. Let's go out to Lowell Ponte with the very latest concerning the president and everything else. Lowell, good morning.
Kevin, great to be with you.
Let's talk a little bit about the national elections. How do you see this playing out today?
Oh, I think most people are betting Republicans will take control of the Senate with about 52, 53 seats.
Now, despite us political folks here, Lowell, I mean, is that really going to change our lives at all, you think?
Well, it could theoretically block the president's ability to do more lifetime appointments to the Supreme Court and other U.S. courts. It could put more pressure on the president actually to be decisive. I mean, we've had a president who, when he was in the Illinois legislature, voted present 135 times. This is basically what we have is what I call a blame duck president. Not lame duck, but blame duck. That is, for 6 years, we've seen him blame others and duck responsibility. Whenever anyone criticizes him, they're immediately denounced as racist. What we've got is a community organizer as president whose idea of politics is to play divide and conquer, to be polarizer in chief, to put people at each other's throats. This has not been terribly good for the society or the economy.
What about the impact of the allegations of racism on the country itself, sir? I mean, we've got Eric Holder now. He's going to monitor the elections, and yet we have people comparing the Georgia Senate race to Ferguson, Missouri, and if you elect a Republican in Alabama, they're a Klansman. That doesn't get investigated.
It is strange, isn't it? I noticed only yesterday Eric Holder, as our Attorney General, our Chief Law Enforcement Officer, was proclaiming that he wants more scrutiny. He wants more transparency in the police department in Ferguson, Missouri. Well, that's fine, except this is the same attorney general who has stonewalled releasing documents about Fast and Furious. He's defied subpoenas from the House of Representatives. He has defied a direct order from a federal judge to release the documents, and now he's calling on others to be more transparent. If we are going to have an honest government, then why is the attorney general determined to knock down anything that would prevent voter fraud, such as photo ID?
Well, again, what about the consequences of the rhetoric coming from the administration and their surrogates? What impact will that have on future political races, future political candidates?
Well, to me, as someone who writes, among other things, financial books, I'm afraid that if we see the American people gulled into reelecting the current administration's supporters in the U.S. Senate, this is going to be what we've come to call a donkey drag on the economy. America used to have two pro-business political parties. Now we have an anti-business political party that openly practices demonizing business, massively increasing business taxes. We now have the heaviest business taxes in the world, as Mitt Romney could tell you. And as a result, if Democrats are reaffirmed in this election by the voters, if they hold on to the Senate, that will be a sign to investors all over the world that the U.S. is no longer a sane place to invest your money. You're going to see thousands more American companies fleeing overseas with their money and their jobs. So we already have a situation where millennials are grossly underemployed. The Wall Street Journal just yesterday reported that first-time home buyers in the last year have hit a 27-year low. What that basically means is that younger Americans who now have one or two hamburger flipper jobs, which is what the economy's deteriorated to, they simply don't have the credit to buy a new house or start a family. I mean, we're seeing the American economy spiraling down despite the casino playing wild and loose with easy government money on Wall Street. The economy itself is in a great deal of trouble out there in much of the country, and it will only be in more trouble if Democrats get reelected. That will be a reelection of the anti-business party. Would you invest here if you had a political system where in every election a party bent on confiscating whatever you've earned could take power? That's a tremendous deterrent.
What about the shell game that is the economy, sir? We talk about it here at 580KIDO, where we have everybody throwing money into the stock market, yet the Fed continues to print money, and we have no real jobs for ordinary Americans.
We have just spent $8 trillion in the last 6 years under the current administration, and with Democrats largely in control of Congress. And what has that $8 trillion gotten us that will have to be paid by our children and grandchildren? It's gotten us 2% economic growth. That is anemic almost beyond imagining. America is accustomed to 5 or 6% economic growth. And that means the future is not particularly bright here unless there's a change of direction. You can't just keep running the government on raising taxes and doing more borrowing, which is what it means to print more money.
Well, and that's the issue that seems to be being ignored by the media when we're talking about this administration.
Well, what we've seen is the advent of a regulatory state, almost a regulatory dictatorship, where the president now says, if Congress will not give me all the money I demand, I will simply use the regulatory state to steal it from companies. We've seen him, for example, in recent months confiscate $16.65 billion from Bank of America, $15 billion from J.P. Morgan Chase, $5.5 billion from Citibank, and so on. What that says to companies is that you are just here like a milk cow to be milked or a sheep to be sheared by the government, and it will not even be taxes directly. It will be regulatory fines and penalties. In other words, the business climate is becoming more and more hostile. Because the government is now made up of spendaholics who simply want more. And look at the society in general. We now have 49.5% of households in America where somebody there gets a government check. The takers are beginning to outnumber the makers. And when that happens, when you have, well, look at what's happening with the border, for example. We have this surreal situation where the president has decided to carry out what I called in a recent column the big gerrymander, meaning he has in effect stretched the boundaries of the United States all the way to Central America in order to easily bring in millions of new Hispanic voters. Why? Because America has always been a frustration to the political left, a frustration because we don't have a natural proletariat, a natural disaffected, hopeless working class, which is essential to overthrowing capitalism, according to Marxist theory. Now, what President Obama is doing, in effect, is now importing a proletariat of the kind that would never grow in a country that used to have social mobility and hope. As the economy stagnates, as young people can no longer acquire enough credit with a part-time job to even buy a new home, you're going to see the buildup of a proletariat here. And unfortunately, as I said, we have a polarizer-in-chief who may never have led any company, may never have been commander of any military unit, but he was a community organizer. He does know how to follow Alinskyite tactics and put people at each other's throats, which is the way the old British Empire and Roman Empire used to rule people. It would set them at each other's throats, and that's what our current government is doing.
How big is the ticking time bomb of student loan debt for the millennials?
It's way above $1 trillion now. It's about $1.1 trillion. And what you will see the president start to do, in fact, he already has begun to do it, is to say, if instead of seeking out a capitalist job, you become a community organizer or you become a government employee of certain kinds. In other words, if you join the government side of the equation rather than the private sector, we will forgive all or part of your student loan. Now, that is ominous. It's dividing the country again between the government people and the non-government people. Bill Clinton did some of that. Bill Clinton actually implemented laws that said if someone attacks a present or former government employee, that attack should be punished more severely than an attack just by one citizen on another. In other words, he created government employees as a privileged class in our society.
580KIDO, as we continue on, sir, you've written recently how the president can save himself and the Democrats. How would that work?
Oh, well, as of noon yesterday, he could have still saved the Democrats and his legacy, certainly, by simply giving a 15-minute speech. The only catch is the 15-minute speech would have begun with the words, "My fellow citizens, I am resigning the presidency by midnight tonight." If he had done that as recently as yesterday, you would have seen the stock market shoot up by thousands of points. You would have seen massive new opportunity and optimism in the country. You would have seen our enemies in ISIS and others overseas suddenly put down their black flags of terrorist revolution and lift up a white flag of surrender. You would have seen the United States instantly brought back as a credible power in the world, something we've been losing, because you would have seen people say, thank God he won't be president for the next 2 years. That would have been a huge shot of optimism for the country. And ironically, it would have meant that President Obama's name would have been cheered, honored, and remembered for the next 1,000 years. As parents pointed to him in the history books, to their children, and said, there was one man who was president who had the courage to put the country and what was important for America above himself. Has he done that? No, ironically, he hasn't.
What about the post-Obama America? Are we going to all be around for that, or is that something to, you know?
Well, that depends on exactly who wins and what they do with it. I mean, the challenge for Republicans is, having run on very little except being anti-Obama, we need to see whether... See, I don't speak as a Republican or a Democrat. I speak as a libertarian. And for myself, I would love to see a pro-business environment here that would unleash all the enormous dynamic potential of this country. That's what made the country great. We need to get back in the direction of honest money, of integrity, and of a government made smaller rather than larger. By the way, this is why my co-author and I, Craig Smith, are writing a series of 12 books, the fifth of which just came out, is called Don't Bank on It, The Unsafe World of 21st Century Banking, that shows just how terrifying it is now to have a bank account. We used to think that was safe, but it turns out your bank account now faces 20 major risks, half of them from the government itself, because the government is now voracious for more and more money, and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation that's supposed to protect you, in fact, only has enough reserve potential to cover about one out of every $14 it insures. So things are actually much more dangerous than you might think. The good news, by the way, with Christmas coming, Kevin, we are giving these 256-page $20 books away. We'll pay for the book, we'll pay for the postage, we'll pay for the toll-free phone call to get it. We're just trying to arm people with information to be a beacon of light the way you and your award-winning show are. And if people would like a free copy of Don't Bank on It, all they need to call is 800-630-1494. That's 1-800-630-1494. Or as I like to say, think of Columbus sailing the ocean blue in 1492, but not quite. It's 1-800-630-1494, and we'd be happy to give you this book. Why do we do this, by the way? Because my co-author doesn't need the money from selling books. He's a very successful entrepreneur. But what we do want to do is save the future for our children and grandchildren, to save the Constitution, to save small government. The problem is, the bigger government gets, the smaller you and I get.
Exactly.
That's the trade-off. And we'd rather have a country of big, courageous, entrepreneurial individuals than a world of huge government. By the way, you've probably noticed that big government is bad enough when it was Mussolini making the trains run on time.
Right.
We, under the current administration, have a government that has made the trains run worse.
Lowell, great point. We'll have you back. Thank you, sir.
Hey, God bless you, Kevin.
God bless. Great show. Good morning, Dave.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Stay up all night.
Kevin Miller here. I hope you're having a great day. Whew, crazy night last night. And coming up, we'll have your chance to sound off on who won or who lost. Is it more of the same to you? Or do we have real hope? And I do want to thank everybody that joined us last night at the Riverside hotel in Boise was wonderful. We've got tons of pictures at 580kido.com. It was interesting hearing from the activist and the elected officials as well. And we'll get more. We'll get back to politics in a minute. But one thing I want to talk about, and I haven't really gone into this because this is such a controversial topic. That is the life and death of Brittany Maynard. Brittany Maynard, the young 29-year-old woman who, in fact, ended her life. She died with dignity, according to the national reports, because she had an inoperable brain tumor that was going to end her life and kept her in great pain. In fact, she left her home to move to Oregon to make sure that she could end her life. Now, the fascinating part about this is how the news media covered it. Let's take a listen here, and then we'll talk about it at 580-5436-580-KIDO.
Maynard's message was clear. In our interview for CBS This Morning, she said she intended to die with dignity.
So to the people who would say, well, you're choosing to end your life, that's suicide, you would say, no, it's what?
No, cancer is ending my life. I am choosing to end it a little sooner and in a lot less pain and suffering.
Last spring, Maynard was diagnosed with the most lethal form of brain cancer and given 6 months to live. She moved from her home in California to Oregon because of its Death with Dignity Act, which would allow her doctor to prescribe a lethal dose of drugs to end her life.
Brittany's very public decision to end her life has put the right to die issue back into the national spotlight.
Now, before we get going here, I know it's early, and I know it's kind of spooky out, and I know we're just getting going. Unless you're like a security guard Mike or Nolan or John or Joe or Rebecca or anybody else that listens to the early morning hours, or our friend Sean. Hi, Sean! Coming in. You know, the right to die. I didn't see that in the Constitution, have you? The right to die. But now we have this, and we have this whole situation in Oregon. And Kevin, you're going to say, well, Kevin, you don't know what it's like when you have someone who's ready to die. How dare you, Kevin Miller? But look, we're not judging Brittany Maynard, but do we need to make it the number one news story ever?
Heard this emotional reaction on both sides, which really shows that this right to die movement remains controversial. Gail?
I'll say, Jan, thank you. Such a beautiful, brave young woman. I keep thinking about her family today, but they were all together.
Yeah.
You know, when you think of Brittany Maynard, beautiful, brave young woman, is that really what you think of when someone who has ended their life? Now, that was from CBS This Morning. Our team coverage continues here with the Today Show's version of it.
Made that decision months ago after being diagnosed with incurable brain cancer. And over the weekend, she went through with her promise, dying peacefully, surrounded by loved ones.
Overnight, a statement from an end-of-life choice organization associated with Maynard read in part, she chose to abbreviate the dying process by taking the aid in dying medication she had received months ago. She died as she intended, peacefully, in her bedroom, in the arms of her loved ones. There were heartfelt tweets about Maynard's passing. Your story, compassion, and fight will never leave me. She modeled the bravery of facing death with dignity. She, not cancer, had the last word.
In the end, Brittany Maynard said about her decision, the freedom is in the choice. Guys, back over to you.
All right, Tamron, thank you very much. I think a lot of people are going to be weighing in on this today and sharing their emotions, both positive and, in some cases, negative. It is a controversial decision.
Controversial, but what a remarkable young woman. And to share it with everyone obviously took a lot of courage.
Absolutely.
A lot of courage. Look, to end your life, they call that suicide, don't they? And we've replaced that with death with dignity. And I've had people, and I always tease Dave Burnett about talking to people here at the broadcast center. I had somebody show me this story and say, oh, hey, man, you need to talk about it with your listeners. And I'm thinking, well, what would they say? What would your reaction be to this? So we waited a couple of days, a couple of hours to think about this. And we'll talk about it during and after the Manly Man segment. But do you really need to make things public? Is there any privacy left? Or have we all become our own programmers, our own promoters of our own causes? Now, for me, and look, I'm not in her pain. I'm not in her suffering. and we will pray for her. Is the courageous thing to end your life? And for the liberal folks out there, it's great because they can undermine the process. The folks in Oregon, the Death with a Dignity people. But in reality, if you're courageous, don't you fight on? And maybe this beautiful young woman had nothing left. I get that. What's accomplished by making this a big issue? What's accomplished by going live? What's accomplished by going viral? Hey, I'm leaving. Goodbye, everybody. Perhaps the courageous thing to be would be to stick it out. But we won't hear that now from our fellow broadcasters, will we? Our thoughts and prayers go to her and her family. But the idea that you're going to highlight someone, in my opinion, is distressing and disturbing. Boy, how do you swallow your breakfast with that one? Anyway, you got me. Kevin Miller with you here. Coming up, the Manly Man segment. In addition to that, we are going to take a look at last night's election results. Again, thanks to everybody that stopped by the Riverside. You can always follow me on Twitter, Kevin Miller Show, Facebook, Kevin Miller Show. We're doing something a little different, a little brand separation there. Check that out. Like me, friend me, and we'll have a great time together, whether in real life or online. And they're all the same, right? You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Big Wednesday. If you're a Republican, if not, call it the day after the annihilation. Good morning, Dave.
The day after the annihilation?
The annihilation.
Sounds like a Tom Cruise movie where some sort of aliens came in.
Aliens, call it what you will. It was a big night nationally and locally for the Republican Party, the revival of the GOP, if you will.
Well, there's no mandate. That's what you're going to hear. There's no mandate.
Or the mandate is, since the Democrats couldn't get anything done with the president in their own party, people elected the Republicans to get things done for Barack Obama.
Yeah.
That's
a stretch.
It is a stretch, but then people are going to say, how long before the Republicans are attacked, even before they take office?
Voter fraud. Have we heard that one yet?
No, not voter fraud. They're mean, they're angry, that sort of thing.
They're haters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at it this way. Republicans now back in charge of the Senate. Harry Reid, go ahead and take the little chair, sit with the kids' table. A bigger amount of Republicans in the Congress. It's kind of like the day after the NFL draft. Okay, we got our players. That doesn't make us winners. What can you do for us? What are you going to do now? Are you going to be Johnny Manziel and go to Vegas and party and sit on the bench with a clipboard? Or are you going to move forward and actually do something? Because there's a lot of work to be done.
Or a lot of work not to be done.
Yeah.
You know, people say that we're clamoring for immigration reform, and we're going to ignore everything that we've talked about when it comes to enforcement. This time we mean it. Once we legalize everybody that's here illegally, then we're going to secure the border. I promise this time.
Yeah. When they have their meeting today, somebody should be saying, yeah, one of our jobs, one of the things we want to get done is we want to secure the border. That should be one of the first things. We're going to secure the border and come up with a plan as to how to secure the border. There's your immigration reform.
It would be nice.
I mean, that's something that should be done. The Republican Party had members reelected to where they're in power. So what are you going to do now?
Well, speaking of what are you going to do, what's the president going to do?
I have a hunch, and, you know, I've seen more than I know Glenn Beck's been saying for weeks, and I saw an article on Drudge overnight that this could be the most dangerous 2 years in American history right now.
Doesn't he say that all the time?
Drudge?
Yes. Or Glenn Beck.
Well, just for the fact that you're going to probably see more executive decisions now than before.
Well, there's always the I word.
Independent?
Impeachment. And
that's not going to happen.
Well, if he legalizes the illegals, if he is, you know, he's portrayed by a lot of folks, our friend Alex Jones and others, as this out-of-control dictator. If he, in fact, forces the hand and says, I dare you, I dare you, I dares you, sooner or later, I think somebody's going to have enough guts, whether it costs them politically or not, to say enough. And he has so damaged the Democratic brand.
Yes.
And I don't, you know, you and I were talking off the air here at 580KIDO. I wonder if he has the political skills to co-opt the Republican message as Bill Clinton did. Remember, after Clinton lost, he goes, I heard your message.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a good Bill Clinton now.
Yeah. And he tried to be.
He, and, you know, when he and Gingrich had that run, they did historical things, welfare reform and everything else. Of course, that's been thrown out the window through executive action by this current president, mm-hmm. but you can't have everything.
No. So, it'll be a fascinating dance to watch. And, you know, I don't think I see what I saw when there was a huge upheaval with Newt Gingrich at that time. You know, I guess I didn't see a real clear national platform policy by the Republicans saying, if you elect us, here is what we will do.
What, as opposed to the contract with America?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know, and not that the contract with America was, you know, fulfilled, but I did not see anything. Let's put it this way. You know, I've heard people saying, yeah, we need to overturn health care. Well, you're not going to get rid of it. It's here now. How are you going to reform it? What are you going to do to make it easier for businesses and to where Americans aren't just robbed? What are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
It's difficult. And once you give people something, you're evil if you take it away.
Well, yes. And, you know, last night I was blogging, as you know, as you were updating the website. And just a few takeaways, you know, this was the governor's 25th campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Been active politically since 1972, and I kind of got lost in the nostalgia of it last night. And for some reason, when the governor sees me, he likes to, like, grab my face.
Well, you know it's there.
I know. And so last night he gave me a big hug afterwards, and we tweeted that on 580kido.com. And it was just interesting that he beat the odds. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, he's been active here, but he was outspent, contentious primary. You had Senator Fulcher, who was on this program, basically saying, I endorse the platform, did not wholeheartedly endorse the governor, and the governor prevailed. And most people were giving credit last night to Stephen Yates, who was on yesterday. He'll be on today for unifying the Republican Party. And is it true, Dave Burnett, in the state of Idaho, that if you have an R next to your name, you're, if not guaranteed, just about guaranteed, a win?
Yes.
And we saw that last night.
We did. You know, yes. It certainly gives you an... I won't say it'll guarantee you a win, but it certainly gives you a leg up.
Well, legs up are good.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, and again, and you know, you hear people grousing around this building who do not necessarily purport to have an R anywhere near them, you know, that it's just the way this state is. Yes, it is just the way this state is. It tends to be a conservative state, and they tend to go with the conservative party,
well,
regardless of what comes out of their mouth.
I see.
Now, you were at the Republican headquarters last night.
Yes, I was.
Any insight, any things you saw you're going to share from the inside?
Just, I think, again, we saw history last night with Governor Otter. And the one thing I admire about Governor Otter, two things. Number one, that Governor Otter, whether you agree with him or disagree with him, that he respects what we do here at 580KIDO.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of politicians that won't stand up to criticism. You have a lot of politicians that won't do certain things. Governor Otter, that goes beyond belief with me. And then just the perfect storm that was against him. And in the end, whether it was help from the Republican Governors Association, whether it was this, I kind of attribute it to two things. Number one, and we write about it at 580kido.com, Otter wins, order has been restored to the force. That I think no one outworked him. And remember at the Dave Ramsey event, the first lady came up to me and said, "We got an election this year." No overconfidence with either of them at all. And I think they got a big assist from the Ninth Circuit.
I was out of everything yesterday.
And you'd be proud of me because I fact-checked it and I didn't say the 11th Circuit like you corrected me on the air before I wrote Ninth Circuit last night.
That's why I hesitated right now just to make sure you're right. I will admit this. I was a little surprised that in the governor's acceptance speech, the bulk of it was taken up about traditional marriage. I was a little surprised by that.
It was a winner, and I'll tell you why. Sitting in the back of the room, I'm sitting there, and it's funny when, you know, because when the people that were winning, they go, "Oh, we're going to win. We're going to kick Obama's butt." Blah, blah, blah. And then people are back there talking. Some guy goes to someone, "Shh, I'm trying to listen." When Butch Otter spoke about marriage, there were tons of people going, "Yeah, right." And they weren't doing it to be heard. They were just hanging out back there. He echoes their thoughts.
Yeah, we have his acceptance speech for you to play today. It's about almost 4 minutes long. And you can hear that very clearly in the crowd that when he talks about traditional marriage, strong support from the people.
Yes.
It's very audible.
It is. It is audible indeed. So we shall see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
I would share some stuff with you, but Inside Skinny, I'll have to talk to you afterwards because my computer is not working today.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did they break it on purpose?
Could be Obama says, "I'll fix that little rascal."
It could be the liberals in the building sneaking in here overnight.
And you brought up a good point. You were talking to somebody and they say, "Why does Otter hate the gays?" Mm-hmm. And it's not like he hates the gays. In fact, it was very articulate the way he put it last night where he said, I believe him as well. I don't believe anybody in Idaho discriminates against people or wants people to be felt as second-class citizens. It was just a great night. Boy, this is going to be you're going to love this one.
What's that?
This whole computer meltdown over here. I might actually have to work today.
Wow. That would be different.
That was you know, I was talking to our friend Young Jacob, who did a tremendous job last night. And Young Jacob is one of the fast-rising stars of our promotional squad here at 580KIDO.
He's sound asleep right now, by the way.
I'm sure he is. And, you know, I'm sitting there. You know, you look at the business of politics. I'm a consultant. I'm a lobbyist. I'm this. And I was watching all these guys there last night and gals just there seen to be seen. You know what I mean? But it's a business. It was just fascinating. I was watching that. Oh, by the way.
Yes.
I did get propositioned.
You're a married man. Daisy will be very upset.
I know. I did get propositioned here at 580KIDO. Remember, we have people talking about, you know, Kevin Miller, you should run for office. Somebody suggested I should run for another office.
Well, normally they're saying run from an office, the bosses.
Run from my office, monkey.
Yeah.
But the people want me to run for mayor, be the mayor of Star. Gary from Star. In fact, Gary was a little upset he found out I moved to Star because he didn't approve my my relocation.
Wow.
Yeah, it was touch and go last night. But he said, "You should run for." I go, "Do you know my views? I'd be building a fence around Star." And then he gave me the perfect talking points. We're going to, you know, if elected, we're going to look to annex Eagle. We're going to take over Eagle.
Good luck. You're going to have to cross Highway 16.
The dreaded, it's like the Atlantic Ocean.
That's like the border wall right there.
Exactly.
You just build the fence right there on Highway 16.
Exactly. So I just thought that was a good thing.
So is this kind of, in a way, your announcement that you're going to run for the mayor's Star?
You know something? I look at it this way. Those people that run for office, that's a special gift, a special skill, a special ego thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not me, brother. I had an opportunity to work behind the scenes many years ago, blah, 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 and I chose this life with you. No, hold on.
So we're getting back to the run from the boss's office, aren't we?
No. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know the time anymore.
You don't? It's time for traffic.
It's been 5:49 for 5 minutes.
On your computer?
Yeah.
You're going to have to look at the big clock above you.
Exactly.
Traffic now as you're coming out.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIVO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Time to get up and start the day, everybody. If you stayed up late last night, a huge victory for the Republican Party, not only locally, but nationally, we'll discuss. Let's get you to work safely and on time at 580 KI. All right, it is 5:58 as we continue on. You know, how long before the libs attack the Republican Congress? And truly, is this a good thing? We shall see. Right now, the Republicans have 52, the Democrats have 44, the Independents have 2, and 2 undecided, which I believe probably are Louisiana and Georgia. But right now, the Republicans have 52 votes, and people, you know, I wish I wasn't working last night, because I would have loved to have seen the faces of Chris Matthews, of Chucky Todd, everybody saying, well, it's highly unlikely. The American people have voted, and they said enough is enough with out-of-control health care, with lost jobs, and we're seeing this. Heck, we saw it in North Carolina with Tom Tillis. So locally at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, we will ask you, are you happy with last night's results? And we've covered the governor's race here ad nauseum at 580-KIDO. Let's face it, the governor won. What does that mean for people that were against him? We will discuss, as always, with you by our side. We've got your back. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.